This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Never good when the show starts with the producer going, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oops.
I had the computer was in a... So these channels on this new board, it's like 4 months old at this point, they can all be changed around at any time. They're not static like the old one was.
Yeah.
So sometimes you come in and if you don't look, like stuff has moved and this one was flipped.
You know who you look like right now?
Hmm.
Check me on this, guys. You look like Travis Kelce after the Super Bowl.
I was just going to say the same thing with the little...
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys, can I... I feel like I can hear something.
Yeah,
I feel like I hear the end of the news music. Like,
yeah, I had
I thought I was going crazy.
Come on, Travis.
A fraction of an inch.
I thought I was losing my mind. I'm like, wait a minute.
Now you're performing like Travis Kelce.
I can't see Travis.
He just dropped the ball.
Can't see it?
Nope.
The beard, the...
I see it.
Playful, jostled hair.
I'm sorry.
That's
like,
a bad
I literally
look too.
Physically cannot see Travis.
Oh, you can't see him.
Yeah, I think he would need to stand up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you do.
And that's a bad look, because he looked like he just got back from Turkey and got one of those, like...
I don't know. I don't think looking like Travis Kelce's ever a bad thing.
Turkish hair transplants. Yeah, but he went from having, like,
no hair
at all
to a lot of hair.
If someone
told me I looked like Brad Pitt when he was really sad about his dad dying, I'd be like, okay, I'll take that.
I think it was a little bit... His hair looked a little bit like a flop. It had a floppier... era to it.
Yeah.
Aura, I should say. Floppier aura.
You said era because of Taylor.
I get angry with the Tom Cruises, Travis Kelce, Bradley Coopers, who can change their hairstyles and look completely different in what seems like just a couple of months, right? Like Tom Cruise can go from the Super Bowl, he had the long hair, you know, and then the next week he looks like, you know, he's got the short hair.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of those people. I got one look.
That might not, here's the thing.
I feel real bad for you. Yeah. I have a face like a potato.
You got to remember, there's a pretty decent chance these gentlemen are not all natural, you know what I'm saying?
They're not naked.
There's a good chance that they, like I said, they go get weird hair transplants and stuff like that. And
really?
And yeah. I mean,
well, they also have like professional hairstylists doing their hair every day, and
that
they
too.
Have plastic surgery to look like they're 10, 15 years younger than they are. I mean, you know,
yeah,
got to keep that into perspective.
I don't feel quite so bad now.
Yeah.
If I did all that.
I mean, like, no, seriously, if your job... If people are like, we're going to give you every 6 months, we're going to give you $30 million. You just have to stay in phenomenal shape and have these surgeries, and we'll cut your hair and we'll do everything for you. You have a private chef who's going to make all the good stuff, even the healthy stuff, taste good because he's making it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'd be that hard to be in that kind of shape.
That's why I love the comedian who said, you know, especially for women, it's even amplified more with the surgeries and the stylists, that even a social media post, you don't see the 7 stylists behind them getting them ready, doing their makeup, doing their hair, making sure the lighting's great, and, you know, the hair extensions that they get and all the surgical work. And so this comedian said, I'm not ugly, I'm poor. Yeah. And I think that's 100% it. I've been saying that to myself. Yeah. I'm not ugly, I'm just poor.
Yeah. It's about right.
I was shocked even by some of the like nose jobs, cheek, chin, all of it.
I mean, the word is that you're not going to see anybody over 35 that hasn't had work in Hollywood. That's the word. I don't know how true that is, but that's the word.
And then someone like Justine Bateman from that family show with Michael J. Fox.
Family Ties.
Yeah. She's not had anything, and she looks like it. She looks her age. She looks mid-50s,
right.
And people just roast her.
Yeah.
And talk about how terrible she looks. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe we've just lost track of what real age looks like.
Yeah, I mean, or we're just jerks.
Yeah, well, that too.
It does. There's something, though, that's aggravating about seeing Brad Pitt, for instance, in a movie that they advertised during the Super Bowl where he's going to be an F1 driver. The guy's 61 years old. He looks like he's 25.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford, I don't know if you guys saw that Jeep commercial. He looked like a child, you know, like a young person. Rob Lowe. I mean, Rob Lowe looks the same as he did when I was a child.
Yeah.
But again,
I don't like that.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's like I said, I do think it's even amplified with women because Harrison Ford, Brad Pitt, they're still the leading male characters. They're the leading males. You go as a female in Hollywood from being the lead female to the mother of the lead female. Like, Harrison Ford's not going to fall in love with a 70-year-old woman who looks great. He's going to fall in love with someone who's 30 because the lead females in the movies and the lead females are always young. And you go from being the lead female to the mother of the lead female like that. Meanwhile, Brad Pitt will always be Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise will always be Tom Cruise. And so I do think in that sense it's harder for women in Hollywood.
Oh, God. No, it definitely is. But there are exceptions, but they're few. Right, you can name 10 guys for every one woman that applies. Like, you can name Nicole Kidman. She's 60, and she's still a leading lady. She still is the star of shows and movies. But that's almost the exception that proves the rule, because who's the other?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure I'm wrong about this, but I was watching The Pit, which I told you about with Noah Wyle, who I think is pronounced Wyle, which would throw me too much. I'm just calling him by the wrong name. I'm dead naming him. But Noah Wiley's a handsome guy. And he's this ER doctor in the series, and it's a bad day, and he's having a panic attack, and he goes in the bathroom, and he splashes water all over his face, and he's really, really suffering. And I said to a friend of mine, it would be so much easier to go through that if you were handsome.
I know, yes.
And they're like, what? And I'm like, just hear me out. If I go through that... And I'm having a panic attack, and I'm rubbing my face, and I'm splashing water, and I look in the mirror. I look like this minus 10. If you look back at the mirror, and you're Noah Wiley, or you're Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise, you're still super handsome. I don't know. I just feel like it's so much easier going through life every minute if you're handsome.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. There are scientific studies that prove it. Like, they have studied how people treat, quote-unquote, good-looking people. They make, as a general rule, compared to the average person, they make more money, they have more prestigious jobs. Yeah. I mean, it, because we're wired to a degree to judge appearance.
And it's so weird, like, just watching the Super Bowl and a lot of the ex-players, there's just a prototype of man, at least, that you're just tall and bucket-jawed and maybe have, like, the little dent in your chin.
Howie Long.
Yeah, exactly. That's just, you just won the lottery. You just came out of the womb like that.
I mean, with the beginnings, you know, those guys still have to lift a lot of weights and get real big. But yes, the genetics are real.
Like, yeah.
They make, some people are fat. We were kind of talking about this today on the walk back after lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are people that are just fast. They're just born, like, their body is fast, or they're 6'3", so they have the long stride versus the 5'8" guy who's got to take 6 steps for every 2 of theirs. Like, there are people that are just, they're born with advantages physically, and it's the way it is.
Yeah. Yep.
Are people born with, you know, intelligence advantages, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that. I actually thought about this in bed last night because I was having trouble sleeping and one thought leads to another. And I am absolutely don't think I'm any sort of genius, but I think I have a pretty good brain, pretty quick. And I have met and known a lot of people who don't have quick, good brains. I mean, we all do, right? It's just the way it is. But we have such trouble talking about that as opposed to Michael Kelly, you're 6'4".
Right.
Okay. I'm 5'9", 5'10", on a good day. That's easy to talk about.
Right.
But it's just as much or way more of a struggle for people who were just born with not that great of a brain. They just have lower intelligence. And their life shows it a lot of times. And I was just feeling lucky, again, not a genius, but feeling lucky for not having a bad brain. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, maybe that sounds conceited or something, but I was just very thankful that I had a chance to do some of the things I've done, but it was just a quirk of nature.
Oh, so you think it's genetic? You don't think it's something you honed or made better?
Oh, I think you can.
It's both.
I think you can. For example, I don't have a natural talent for playing guitar, but I also didn't try very hard. If I had really woodshedded it, I would be so much better than I am, but I don't have a natural aptitude. So I think that people are born with natural aptitudes, physically, mentally, emotionally. And then you get thrust into life and you have your experiences.
Yeah.
And it helps you where it hurts you.
Yeah. And the people, like whatever field it is, guitarists, athletes, whatever, geniuses, physics professors or physics, like, what's the right word? I'm not looking for professor. I'm looking for astrophysicist. That's the word. Like, you have to have the combination of the natural ability and the drive. Mm-hmm. That's what makes you one of the elites. You can be good with either, right? Mm-hmm. You can be good just with natural skill and minimal work, or you can be really good with a lot of work and not much drive not much talent. But if you have both, that's when you're seeing the elite of the elite.
Can I tell you one of the dumb Dave moments? Now that I've said I have a good brain, let me prove to you that I don't. When I graduated law school and I did 3 or 4 years as an attorney and I didn't like it and I wasn't especially good at it. I can't believe I say these things on the air. I went back to Wash U to the science department and told them I want to get my PhD in astrophysics. Do you know why? Because I like to read Scientific American. Mm-hmm. And I liked the articles. And they're like, oh, well, tell us about your background in math and sciences. I'm like, I took Algebra 1 in high school, and I didn't do well. And they're like, well, we're going to be honest with you. You have a long road to hoe. Like, you need to get another bachelor's, then you need to take the GRE. I'm like, what's that stand for? And they're like, okay. But that's how clueless. I was 27, 28 by this time.
Yeah. Then they walked him over to the Play-Doh. Here you go. Get started here.
And then I told my buddy Steve I wanted to move to Chicago and join Second City and try to become a comedian.
You could do that.
Well, he said, he's like, look, you're a really funny guy. I love being funny with you, but you're not going to be on SNL. You should go sell insurance. You should use your personality and charm to go sell people insurance. And then later, once I got this show and it was successful, he called me and he was like, I need to apologize to you because you were right and I was wrong. And I said, no, you were not.
Right.
You were right. I just sort of caught a flyer.
I don't think so. You believe in the whole 10,000 hours concept that you can put 10,000 hours into something? Yes, I think you probably were genetically born with some quick wit and fast acting brain that makes you humorous. But this is something you've honed and grown over time and could make better. I imagine every comedian probably heard what you said. What was his name? Jim said
Steve,
to you,
yeah.
Or that Steve said to you, and every one of those stories was then followed up. But I still went to it, and I went, I mean, look at where you're at.
Or a lot of guys who took that advice and went and sold insurance.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I'm always the shoot your shot guy. You have to be. Like we talked about again another conversation today. I didn't necessarily belong where I wound up for college baseball. But I needed to shoot the shot. I did not want to just say, I know I can succeed below that, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I was like, I have to find out. And I wouldn't be in radio if I listened to people. People are like, that's not a good business. You're going to have to move 30 times and you don't get paid anything. Well, so? I mean, if you're not going to know if you don't try. The fallback should be a fallback, not the primary choice.
If you were,
it's okay to fail, by the way, too. It's okay to not hit what you're shooting for.
If you were approached by a young person, whether it's Michael's business or it's our business or it's baseball, looking for advice, looking for some direction, would you give them that advice?
What, shoot your shot?
Yeah.
100%. But you better be willing to put in the work. Obviously, it's a little different, right? If a kid comes up to me and he's 18 and he's 5'4" and 140 pounds and he wants to be a pro athlete, I'm probably going to say, you know, can you run? You know, when you're small like that, there's not so much you're going to be able to do. But in general, if you're thinking of it and you want to do it, why not? There's nothing wrong with failing.
And the time to shoot the shots when you're young.
Yes. Once you're older and you have responsibilities, it's hard to do.
Isn't it crazy? When you're 22, you feel so old.
Yeah, totally.
And you look back now and you're like, you've got nothing but time.
Now you see a 22-year-old and they look like they should be in grade school.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
What's the worst thing that happens if you do that and you fail?
But has that translated then to every aspect of your life? I hear what you're saying in your professional life, okay, that you've done that. But do you take that same approach to your financial life? Your love life, where you would shoot your shot on everything, you don't have any apprehension about? Because, no, I mean, you could have just as easily failed getting into radio or gone to Second City and not work.
As an example, I mean, like, using the dating as an example, I could have just been like, I don't know if Susan likes me or not. And you never know. You don't find out till you find out. If you never find out, then...
So you took that approach to your dating life, too.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to say because it ended when I was 19 years old, right? You know, like, I don't have any adult dating experience. I just don't have it.
And you kind of said this about the work ethic, like you pointed this out. But I don't, like, blow smoke, even with students who are like, I want to do this, I want to do that. Because, like, that's what kids do, is any shiny, sparkling thing they see, they want to be. And like you said, I focus on the process because everybody wants what you have. Nobody wants to do what it takes to get there. I mean, I say that with like a marathon time. Like, I've had people like, oh, I want to do that. Okay. I mean, I'm not saying you can't. This is what it takes. And then they kind of fizzle out because they're like, I don't want to do what
it
takes.
It's a good wake-up call.
Yeah. So I'll tell kids, like, okay, like, that's an admirable goal. Let's talk about what that entails, you know, because everybody wants the end result. They don't want to do what it takes to get
there. Like WashU did with me with actual physics.
Yeah, I think that you're doing a disservice if you don't let people know what it takes. You're not discouraging them. You're being very real.
No, it's got to come together.
Yeah.
You know, and like with coaching, I coach teenage baseball players, and they're not all going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But the only ones that are going to make it are going to try. If you don't try, you're definitely not going to. But then you have to explain. But hey, this is what it is. This is, take your schoolwork and double that amount of time. That's how much time you need to put into your sport, too. That's what it takes. Do you want to eat right? Do you want to work out? Do you want to be in the gym when your buddies are out at parties on weekends? Because that's what it takes.
DGS 126. Thank you to Megan Lynch, who interviewed me this morning on Total Information AM about my work with NOTA, No One Dies Alone. And by noon, we had 5 new volunteers.
Nice.
Isn't that wonderful? It's so great that there's so many people out there, like, just who are willing to do that, who just have never heard of it.
Right.
That's really cool. So thank you to those people. That's really, really nice. Also, on Monday is when we're going to start showing our faces on the screens. Rach has been taking the 1 o'clock hour off and working on that and getting all the templates and whatever. Who knows? It's for the boys in the truck.
Better get the makeup truck going.
Right? Make sure you wear something fetching on Monday. Also, Thursday, I need you two, Andrew and Wheels, to bring in a kid picture of yourself. We're going to post them on Throwback Thursday.
All right. Okay. Like an actual picture or just like a digital one?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Like, you mean like a photo, or like I can just have it on my phone and send it to Rach? Or
We're not going to post it outside the building. We're going to post it on a...
Yeah, I thought he meant like AI. I'm like...
On the computer.
Oh, yeah, if you want to do an AI like, picture of you as a kid, that's fine.
Can I do the Master of Wolves picture?
That is an idea that I love.
How old are you there?
In what?
In Master of Wolves.
Well, I don't know. It's an AI picture of me. So.
Oh, no, no, you can't. We need a little kid picture of you.
Wilson's taking pictures of us in the other room for
great.
Some reason.
Great.
Oh, all right. Hey, Wilson.
You can post that one that Wilson just took.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. What do you think, Michael? Should I post that one?
Oh, yeah.
The Master of Wolves.
That's a great representation of you.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I just got like a baby filter on that, and then we'll just run with that.
Look at this one. This is Rachel's, an evil pilgrim. Look at that.
She looks like she's ready to murder someone.
She looks like she'd be talking to the TV and Close Encounters or something.
That's great. Wow. I think I'm going to do my kindergarten picture. Hold on. Look at those bangs.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's cute. You got a little overbite going on
there? I like it.
Got a little something going.
Yeah, like the white man's dance.
I was a little intimidated by the kindergarten pictures. I weighed like 11 pounds in kindergarten. I was like a big chicken.
Doesn't every big chicken.
When did you start to like thin out?
I hit my peak in ninth grade. I was 5'10" in ninth grade and had hair, and then I thought I was going to be 6 feet, and I never grew, and I started losing my hair. So yeah, ninth grade was a pretty good year. Welcome back, guys. DGS 135. So I want to talk about something kind of political. It's not Trumpish. And it's something I feel badly about. And I like people to like me. And I like to give opinions that people agree with. I'm not a bomb thrower. I'm not, I'm not a trouble causer. But something that's been going on in our local politics, national politics, too, obviously, is just kind of sticking in my craw. I think you guys covered this. You were talking about it earlier about this 1 week shutdown, Mexican restaurants like on Cherokee Street to protest how immigrants are being treated. Let me say this first, and this is not currying favor. I truly believe this. No person, no human should be mistreated. No one should be treated below the level of being humane. Families shouldn't be separated. Terrible tactics should not be used. Kids shouldn't be ripped out of schools. But when I've seen so many news reports about this locally, and a lot of the people interviewed will say things like, we're living in fear, undocumented people are living in fear of being caught. Well, shouldn't they? I don't think they're criminals. Unless they're robbing people and murdering people, they're here illegally, which is against the rules. When my license plates are expired, I am pooping water. Everywhere I go, I'm looking for the popo in the rearview mirror. And that's like a $100 ticket. So I can imagine if you are in a country, I can imagine if I just snuck into France and was just living like I was a French citizen, and anytime I get pulled over or there's a kerfuffle with the cops, I could get deported back to wherever I'm from. I get it. I understand it. I just, whenever I hear people complaining about feeling that fear, I think, well, there's a certain amount of fear you should feel because you're not here legally.
Yeah, but because you work in one of these restaurants, I think there's a belief that maybe you are illegal. I mean, one of the restaurants that is closing has been open for 2 decades. These are folks who, have Americans and they're working and they feel as though they're being targeted.
Which I'm not in favor of.
Right. And so I think that's maybe the larger statement that might be being made. I completely agree with you, though, Dave, that if you've even violated the law, then you've kind of got that fear regardless of whether or not Donald Trump was there or not. And maybe that's being brought to the forefront.
And just, it's one thing to say, I'm here illegally, but I'm a solid person. I'm working. I'm contributing. I am a contributing person in this country. I believe that. I think that's absolutely possible and absolutely true of probably millions of people. But even if you're here illegally 20 years, you're still here illegally.
Right. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people may not realize that this big machine that is the United States doesn't operate without these folks. And it's a little
unknown
secret. I agree
with that, too.
We wouldn't have the farming and the produce that we would be able to get done. And I think that there's some type of some quiet satisfaction in my own brain to watch a lot of the people who've been telling me about the border, who live out in St. Charles, been telling me about the border, Mike, you know, the border is this, the border is that. And I'm thinking, you're not dealing with the border out here in St. Charles. That maybe bought into that thought process, who are suddenly like, oh, wait a minute, my favorite restaurant's not open now? Geez, I didn't know that. Why isn't the farmer's market going? And what do you mean that the country club's not open? I mean, there's part of me that's taking a little glee in that.
Wheels, what do you think?
I don't know. I understand. I agree with what you're saying. So, like, on a fundamental basis, we have rules, and it's kind of how I feel about the city to a degree, right? We have rules. I hate seeing all of these cars that are unregistered, no license plates, or their temporary tag is from 6 years ago or whatever. I don't like that, but are we rounding people up for that? Are we doing special busts to find them all and write them tickets and make them get in line? We're not. We're ignoring all of that, and it's not a major thing. I understand. They're not
a federal crime.
They're not the same. It's just a similar concept, right? So, and basically what I'm saying is I agree. You're breaking the rules. We need to follow rules. Otherwise, we don't have anything else to use as a structure. At the same time, we're only picking on the little guy. We are not going after the major industries that employ illegals. We are not touching them. We're not talking about it. We're not going after them. We're not hauling them anywhere. And I'm saying if we want to do it, again, I'm okay. But let's not just pick on the little guy. Let's go get the big guy, too. Because without the big agricultural companies that are hiring illegals, there are no jobs for them to come take. Without the shipyards, I've mentioned this story a bunch of times. There are shipyards out west that are government contractors. They are building boats for the Navy using illegal immigrants as workers. And they get raided. People come in. They take the illegal immigrants out. And they don't do anything to the company that's knowingly hiring them. And they're hiring them. Their excuse is, we can't find enough workers. No, you can't find enough people to do it for what you want to pay them. So you don't have to pay taxes when you're paying under the table. You don't have to pay benefits. You don't have to contribute to things like disability and all of that because they aren't eligible for any of those things. So I'm cool with it. I want to follow the rules. But let's go after everyone breaking the rules and not just the little fish at the bottom of the barrel.
Well, and I think it's kind of like the way you look at government spending and how, yes, we can definitely look at wasteful spending, but what's happening right now is it's being attacked with a hacksaw. So you're saying basically we're going to tear it all down and then figure out what's essential and then try to put it back together. It's a lot harder to put it back together. And so if you're tackling immigration, which we know 74% of Americans across Republican, Democratic spectrums, they were concerned about the border and illegal immigration. But if you tack it with a hacksaw, you're not taking into account that it's pretty complicated, especially for families that have been here for 20, 30 years. You know, instead of saying we're going to focus on the border, let's do this. Let's close the border or at least get order down
regulate
at our southern
flow,
border
right,
and regulate
right.
the flow, then figure out where we are at, who's here, instead of saying we're going to end birthright, we're going to go into schools and potentially deal with, you know, these are people, these are humans, these are family. And like I said, if you break the rules and you're here illegally, yeah, you're going to have to, you know, eventually face the fact that you're here illegally. But it's not that we're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of just like single 25-year-old men that are just here and don't have any roots and haven't opened businesses and don't contribute to society. It's much more complicated. So why don't we figure out, regulate the flow, control the border first, say, okay, where are we now? Who are the known criminals, right? Where are the what they call hot spots, right? Where gang activity or criminal activity is taking place. How many people do we know who are here who have been here for 20 years or longer, 30 years or longer? Do we focus on new arrivals and say, if you've been here for 30 years, that's the least of our concern. We need to work. You know what
at
I mean? Like, there's a better and more humane way to do this. When you use a hacksaw, I think you really turn people off from.
Well, you're also going to make mistakes
and make
doing
mistakes.
That. You're going to make mistakes. Now, so I would ask you guys, do you think this is a fair analogy? The way we're handling this particular issue at the moment is like the war on drugs being only going around and arresting users and leaving the drug kingpins alone, leaving the dealers alone, leaving the cartels alone, and just saying, hey, listen, they're at a higher level. We're not going to bother with the guy that runs drugs in downtown St. Louis. We're just going to go around and round up all the junkies and throw them in prison. Do you think that's going to solve the problem? Right. Do you think that that is... we don't do that in other ways because we know that's not a really sensible way. So again, I want to enforce the rules, but I want everyone to play by the rules and not just the poor people. Not just the people who do not have the means to stick up for themselves like a big company. The big company's got lawyers, they got money, and they have political influence because they're donating to both parties.
Is it just too huge? Because my idea, I've said it before, would be to say illegal immigrants, you have 12 months to present yourself at these offices to undergo interviews so that it can be established who you are, where you're from, if you're a good person or a dangerous person. And if you pass the test, you're going to get a 5-year work card to be here legally and work. And you have 5 years to apply for and get your citizenship. And after the 12 months, anyone who we run into who's here legally is immediately deported. You've had your chance. That makes sense to me. Why can't some version of, why can I come up with that, but some version of that has never been tried? Or maybe it has.
Because I don't think it's ultimately going to solve the problem at the end of the day. We could build the biggest wall. We could build a dome over this country. People literally are going through swamps of alligators and snakes to get here. How bad must it be to come here that you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be illegal, where you're willing to take money under the table, and where you're going to live? I mean, I think we've got a lot. I don't think we fix this immigration and this mass immigration problem that's happening in this world till we address what's happening in this world and the disadvantages. And now with everybody has access to a phone, you can't tell me that a kid down in Guatemala or Kenya or Saudi Arabia or, you know, wherever it might be, isn't going to see this stuff and think, this is what they're doing in America or England? I'm going. I'm starving where I'm at. I don't think we're ever going to stop it.
Do you think we can make a difference in those countries? I know we've tried. I know we've done some things.
I hope. I mean, I think one of the ways that we make a difference is through a lot of the programs that we're cutting right
now.
The
USAID.
Yeah, and it is a powerful thing that the U.S. is out there being this benevolent factor around the world, and it does ultimately make a difference. I don't know that we can fix it on our own, but I think our voice being absent from it makes and compounds the situation. It doesn't make it better.
Andrew, final thought?
Michael's on. I largely do agree with Kevin in particular. I think that something should be done, but I'm never going to be in favor of mass deportations. I think that they are going to ultimately hurt more than they help.
So let me stop you there. If you're not in favor of deportations, What should happen to someone who is caught being here illegally? What should be done with them? Just let them go?
I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that that's the best answer, but that's the first one that comes to my mind. I don't want someone dangerous here illegally. But I think the vast number of them are not dangerous.
I agree.
And are, in fact, making up like a pretty big background of scaffolding of the nation as it sits right now. And I'm wary of, you know, just rounding all those people up and sending them back to wherever they were born.
I mean, that's pretty icky when you think about it, that our country is built so much on this third class of people who... We look at as humans, some of us, many don't, but who we look at as absolutely lower than the rest of us, that are here illegally, hiding in the shadows, working their asses off for less money, and it's such a huge part of our economy. There's a lot of guilt, blame to be spread across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if we want to solve problems, we need to start holding the top of the food chain as accountable as the bottom. Again, who really benefits when you have workers working for less and not getting benefits and not having money paid into Social Security on their behalf because they don't have a Social Security number? Who benefits from that? Really big companies. When do they pay the price the rest of us pay when things go wrong?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DGS. Want to hear a sweet, sad story about a donkey? There's a donkey named Eeyore in Canada who lived his whole life, a couple of decades, in a backyard with no one really caring for him. So someone threw a yoga ball, and he started playing with it constantly, and then he broke it. So then people started sending him yoga balls, and it made him happy. But, you know, he's still by himself. Never been with another animal. So then a place called Homes for Hooves took him in, and now he's in a gang, and they changed his name from Eeyore to Earl. And he's really happy.
Wow.
That's a sweet little story.
Homes for Hooves.
Homes for Hooves.
Earl.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Can you
Why would somebody do that?
What?
Why would you just get an animal and throw it in a backyard by itself?
Dude, it happens so much. We're in the capital.
Like
here in Missouri.
If you don't want to take care of it properly, don't get an animal. Like that's just so stupid.
Don't you so but Kevin, a lot of people do because I see a lot of people who can barely take care of themselves who have animals and I immediately think about their animals.
If you're at least trying, okay.
Like, so we don't know that he was mistreated per se, but
just
we
lonely.
Know he was alone.
Just left alone.
Yeah. Like hopefully he was at least taken care of.
Yeah, I mean obviously he was fed or he would have been in bad shape, but like you know,
what's a yoga ball?
I think it's one of those big balls you roll back and forwards on. Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Inflatable.
Got it.
I don't know. I like those stories, but I feel helpless when I hear them too, because then I feel guilty. Like maybe I ought to be out saving animals that aren't, you know, blah blah blah.
Taking a donkey. You live alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be great with a donkey.
Oh my gosh, you're
There'd
a Democrat.
There'd be two jackasses in that house.
Yeah. No, but isn't that
name it Hancock?
Oh my God, would that be great?
Yeah, see, I kind of grew up like that. I'm not saying that people in my neighborhood were mean to animals. It's just that animals were animals.
No, that's fine, but you should still understand what an animal needs.
Agreed.
Right? Like if you have a horse, what does a horse need?
Do we
you
feel,
take care of that?
Do we feel bad? Shouldn't we feel bad treating animals with human-like emotions poorly? Like chimpanzees and dogs.
Well, we definitely treat some animals better than others based on the outward displays of personality,
yes.
Right? You know, we know dogs outwardly display personality and friendliness. We know that chimps can do that. You know, others don't do that, and we don't treat them the same.
All I know is my mom's puppy, Francis, who is precious, has nationwide insurance and lives at Shea Mark Scores and runs the household. My dad always says he's so jealous. He's like, I wish I had Francis's life. But when Francis goes to heaven and all the, like, there's going to be wild animals up there, and the wild animals are going to see Francis and be like, wait a minute. You lived in that house, and you had food, and you had insurance. Don't you think the wild animals are going to feel like they got... ripped
hosed?
Off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He better keep his mouth shut.
I know. I feel like the wild animals are going to feel like they got hosed.
That's not a thing today. Do you think famous people will be famous after they die? Meaning if there's a heaven or a somewhere where we all get together.
No. You're not
a movie? I'm going to bet no. I have no idea.
No.
I'm the big I don't know guy, but I'm going to bet no just because I want it.
Good
to
have
way.
Me. Where's Sinatra?
Is that Francis?
Yeah, is that Francis?
Yeah, send me to the dog heaven. That'd be fun. Bunch of dogs running around.
That sounds better.
Well, I mean, then again, you know, we always picture like people being people. I don't know if we're all going to be like we are here. We're pretty terrible here.
Send me to that farm that Rachel's gerbil went to.
Yeah. What was the gerbil's name again?
Richard Gere.
Yeah,
haven't we all had pets that have gone to that farm?
There's a reference.
Grumpy or something.
Grumpy
we've all had
gerbil.
Pets that have gone to that farm, right? Everybody's
oh, yeah.
parents have told them that
oh,
the
yeah.
dog moved to a farm. Yeah.
Don't tell Rach that, though.
Oh, she believes.
No, she's like 33,
farm,
and
yeah.
she's still, yeah. She still thinks she can visit him.
Huh.
Well.
Why is this?
No.
You having trouble turning the music up?
No, the computer. There we go. Look at that.
Hang in, Travis.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.